Thank you for tuning in again on this Lord's Day. And once again, we find ourselves not able to be in the house of God. And as we bring the Word of God to you today by this means, I want us to turn to the final book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it is to the final chapter of this book that I want us to turn our attention today. And it's Revelation 22, and we're going to read from the opening verse. And as the Apostle John penned these words in Revelation 22, in verse 1 he wrote, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." I will end the reading there at the verse 9, knowing that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We'll seek the Lord for a moment of prayer. Let me encourage you, even in your own home today, to ask the Lord to speak to you through his word. Our Father in heaven, we extend our hearts before thee in prayer. In the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, we thank thee that we believe that there is but one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We thank thee today that each one who is seen, we can come to thee as our Heavenly Father. We come in and through the Lord Jesus, and we come with the help of thy Holy Spirit, who dwells within us as thy people. We would seek today to submit ourselves to thee and to resist the devil, that he might flee from us. We ask today that thou will bless thy word to every heart. We pray for each one who is saved, that hears your word, that thou will build us up in the faith, challenge our hearts, encourage our hearts. We pray for those that are unsaved and out of Christ, that even through thy word thou will speak to their hearts and draw them savingly to thyself. Remember those today who are laid aside and have bodily needs, they're afflicted, they're in pain, they need a touch from thee, they need thy grace, which is sufficient, that thou will draw near to them also. Remember those that have been grieved in recent times, that they will know thy comfort and thy peace. Lord, have mercy on our land and our nation. Turn the tide, we pray. And we pray that thou would intervene in all that is happening. We believe that thou art on the throne. Thou art working out all things after the counsel of thy will. Lord, help us to keep looking unto thee. Come now and help us as we consider thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And they shall see his face. So the Apostle John wrote here in Revelation 22 and the verse 4 concerning the servants of God, the servants of Christ, concerning those who have experienced salvation and will enter glory and someday see his face. What a day that will be when each child of God will see the face of Christ our Saviour. It's interesting how many hymn writers have penned words based upon this thought of that day when the saved sinner shall see the face of the Saviour. For example, we think of the words of that hymn that says, "Face to face with Christ my Saviour. Face to face, what shall it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me?" Another hymn writer wrote, "By and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more." And yet another hymn writer wrote, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be." Now, today, if you are saved by God's grace, you and I have never seen the Saviour in the flesh. As those believers, such as the disciples who were here upon earth when the Lord Jesus was here as the God-man, we have never seen him in that sense, face to face. And yet, some of those who penned the scriptures, of course, we think of the Apostle John who penned this book of the Revelation. We think of Peter and his letters. And they did see the Lord Jesus face to face, even in his humility when he came into this earth. And even after his resurrection again from the dead, before his ascension, they saw him. They saw his face. But when Peter was writing his first letter in chapter 1, verse 8, he was writing to believers who had not seen the Saviour in the flesh. And this is what he wrote. "Whom, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Now the Apostle John, who, as we have said, penned this letter to this final letter, Revelation of Jesus Christ, he was one who saw the Lord Jesus upon earth. In fact, he wrote in his first epistle of how he had seen with his eyes and looked upon the one who is the Word of Life. But he also wrote in 1 John 3 of that day when Christ returns, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, we shall see him as he is. Every believer, every saved sinner will see him as he is. And I want us, just for a little time, to dwell upon this thought, Revelation 22 and 4, "And they shall see his face." Considering the Saviour whose face we shall see someday, and some of the references to his face in the Word of God that remind us of who he is and why we who are saved will see his face in glory. And of course, those who are unsaved will see his face from a different perspective on that day when he returns. We want to think first of all about the face of the one who suffered. "And they shall see his face." To see the face of the Lord Jesus in glory could never be a reality for any sinner if the Lord Jesus had not come into this world as a God-man to live that sinless life, to provide a perfect righteousness for his people, and then to suffer unto death on the cross as a great sacrifice for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And when we think of the suffering of the Lord Jesus, and think particularly of the face of the one who suffered, in Matthew chapter 26, we read of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And of course it was in that garden where he would be arrested and he would be taken away. He would be tried and condemned to the death of the cross. And in Matthew 26, in the verse 38, we read of how the Lord Jesus, he saith, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. Verse 39, and he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And his soul, he says, is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. The burden of the sins of his people is weighing heavily upon him. Yes, soon he will go to the cross and endure the wrath of God for our sins. But the burden is weighing him down. And it says that he fell on his face and prayed. The face of the one who was already suffering and would suffer on the cross of Calvary as the great sacrifice for sin. Now, in that same 26th chapter of Matthew, down in the verse 67, as the situation continues, which would lead to the cross, we read of those who really were the enemies of the Lord Jesus, those who were opposed to him, those who had no reverence for him. And in Matthew 26 and the verse 67, it says this, then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? And again, we're focusing in upon the face of the one who suffered. What mockery, derision he suffered, even here, as they spit in his face, as they buffeted him, as they smote him with the palms of their hands. Now, in Mark chapter 14, Mark records the same happening, and as in many situations when the gospel writers record the same happening, some of them give us a little more detail compared to the other. And in Matthew 14 and the verse 65, we read this. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants would strike him with the palms of their hands. And why he talks about striking him with the palms of their hands, when it talks here about his face being covered and then buffeting him, the buffeting actually carries the meaning of smiting with the fist. Luke also records this happening in Luke 22, in the verse 64. And there it says, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him to say, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously speak they against him. The face of the one who suffered. And of course the Lord Jesus endured this suffering and much worse, even when he hung on the cross as the sacrifice for sin, suffering in his soul the wrath of God for the sins of his people. Isaiah prophesied way back in chapter 52 and the verse 14, that the appearance of the Lord Jesus would be so marred or disfigured more than any man. Isaiah 52 and the verse 14, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Oh, we're thinking of that day when the people of God, saved by grace and glory, shall see his face, the face of the Savior. But it's the face of the one who, when he came into this world as the God-man, the face of the one who suffered. He suffered on to death on the cross. He suffered as the great substitute for sinners, the great sacrifice for sin. In his very soul, he endured the wrath of God. And either he suffered there for your sins, and you turn from your sin, you trust in the Savior, or else you reject him and you suffer forever in hell for your own sins. That's a solemn thought. And they shall see his face, the face of the one who suffered. But I want you to think in a second, please, as we think of these words, and they shall see his face, the face of the one who shines. When we think of the Lord Jesus in glory, we're thinking of his glory, we're thinking of that shining. But when the Lord Jesus came into this world as the God-man, yes, he was God manifest in the flesh. He was perfect God and perfect man. He took a body like unto ours, but his glory was veiled. He laid aside his glory for a time. Paul writes of this in Philippians chapter 2. Because he wrote of Christ in Philippians 2 and 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, he laid aside his glory for a time. And we know that also because in John 17, in the verse 5, the Lord Jesus prayed, "And now, O Father, glorify thy me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." So when he walked upon this scene of time, his glory was veiled. And yet the Apostle John was able to declare in John 1 and the verse 14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory, John was able to say. And you see, John was one of three of the disciples who, in Matthew 17, the opening verse, we read of the Lord Jesus taking Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. And it says, his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment or his clothing was white as the light. And of course, later on, there was the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." His face did shine as the sun. And Peter and James and John, they saw something of the glory of the Savior. In Matthew 28, in verse 17, we read that after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we read in verse 16 of Matthew 28, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped." When they saw him, they worshipped. The Lord Jesus is worthy of our worship, for he is the Son of God. And if we're saved, we can say he has redeemed us to God by his blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Luke in chapter 24, verses 50 to 52, he focuses in upon the ascension of the Lord Jesus back into heaven. And in Luke 24 and verse 15, we read of how the Lord Jesus led out the disciples as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they saw him ascending up into heaven, and they worshipped him. It's interesting, of course, that John, who penned these words in Revelation, "and they shall see his face," that in Revelation 1 and the verse 16, we have that vision of the risen Savior. It says in verse 16 of the Savior, "And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword." And then it says, "And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." The face of the one who shines. You know, as I thought of this, I thought of Moses way back in Exodus 34. When he was up the mount communing with the Lord, we read in Exodus 34 and verse 29, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not," he didn't know, "that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them." He'd been communing with the Lord. And we're thinking of the Lord Jesus, and we're thinking of seeing his face, the face of the one who shines. And are we not reminded as the Lord's people that there is that sense in which we are to shine in this world? We're being conformed to the image of Christ. We're to shine as lights in this dark world. You know, the book of Numbers and the chapter 6, there was the blessing that was to be pronounced upon the people of Israel. And in Numbers 6, and the verse 23, we read of the Lord speaking unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee." The face of the one who shines. But there's one final thought as we think of these words in Revelation 22 and 4, "And they shall see his face." Because the face of the Savior, the face of the one who suffered, the face of the one who shines, is also the face of the one who separates. Why the words of Revelation 22 and 4 here are with reference to the saved sinner seeing the face of the Christ in glory. In Revelation chapter 6, we learn that at the coming again of Christ, of course he comes to judge also, there will be a final separation between the saved and the lost. And at the end of Revelation 6, in the verse 15, we read of the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bought man, every free man. And we're thinking of those among these people that are unseen. They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us." Listen to this. "And hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now, there's always been a separation, even in life, between those who turn from sin, trust Christ, love and serve him, and those who reject him. They may be people in the one family, maybe a close family, but they have different responses to the Lord Jesus and his offer of salvation. In Matthew 10, verses 32 to 35, you read of the Lord Jesus speaking of those who on the one hand confess him, and on the other hand, those who deny him. He then spoke of how a father and a son might be at variance in their response to the Savior, a daughter and mother. There might be that, close bond between them, but also a separation in the sense of a different attitude to the Savior. One who's received and one who rejects him, even between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. Now, thank God, in other cases, of course, a whole family can be united in Christ. We think of that jailer at Philippi in Acts 16, and we read that he was brought to a place where he believed in God with all his house. We read he was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when the Lord Jesus returns, as he speaks of in Matthew 25, and he sits on the throne of his glory, and all nations will be gathered before him, and it says he shall separate them, one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And we read of how the unsaved shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You see, either you will see his face, as John speaks about here in Revelation 22 and 4, you will see his face for all eternity in glory. Or if you reject his salvation, you'll be hidden from his face forever. As we conclude, I thought of what we read in Acts 20 concerning the Apostle Paul, when he had called the Ephesian elders, and it would be the last time he would see those individuals upon earth. And in Acts 20 and verse 25, he said, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." Down in verse 36, "And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more." And it's something that brings sorrow to the heart when an individual is well known or a family member, when it is coming to a point where their face will be seen no more in life. And as I thought of this, I thought of the fact that, yes, for those who are saved on that day, when we see the Savior face to face, we shall be forever with him. But for those who have rejected him, no, they'll see his face as the judge on that day, but they'll want to be hidden from his face. And they will be separated from him for all eternity. Solemn thought. Oh, make sure if you're not saved, you trust even in Christ today. Ask him for forgiveness. That someday you might see his face and be like him, and be with him for eternity. And if you're saved today, rejoice that someday you shall see his face. You shall be with him for all eternity. May God bless his word to your hearts today.